So we're continuing this week and next week on reflecting on some of our hymns. And the hymn tonight that we're reflecting on is In the Bulb There Is a Flower. And it begins, In the bulb there is a flower, in the seed an apple tree, in cocoons a hidden promise, butterflies will soon be free. Of course, that's the opening lines. And this hymn is known actually by two different titles. As I mentioned in our hymnal, it's called In the Bulb There Is a Flower after the first line of the song. But it's also known in some hymnals as the Hymn of Promise. It was written in 1986 by composer Natalie Sleeth. She was born in 1930 and died in 1992. Sleeth was born in Evanston, Illinois, and studied music theory at Wellesley College in Massachusetts. She was married to the Reverend Dr. Donald Sleeth, a Methodist minister and professor of preaching. The Hymn of Promise was originally written as an anthem at a time when the author states she was pondering the ideas of life, death, spring and winter, Good Friday and Easter, and the whole reawakening of the world that happens every spring. Inspired by a T.S. Eliot line, the germ of the hymn grew from the idea, in our end is our beginning, the phrase that begins the third stanza of the hymn. For me, this hymn speaks to the marvel of God's creation, growth, transformation, beauty, the process of becoming what one was created to be. The image of a seed particularly reminds me of Jesus' parable of the farmer who went out to sow seeds. Now, often the seeds in the parable are understood as God's message, and the parable becomes about who accepts God's love and nurtures it and who doesn't. And that's actually a wonderful way to understand and interpret that parable, and I've preached on that before. But what if, as God's creations, we also thought of ourselves as the seeds of God's love? Every seed, every person has God-given potential. And so heard in this way, the parable asks, what is going to become of that potential? Will the seed become what it is meant to be? Will we become what we are meant to be? The hymn also hints at the idea of waiting to see what happens, a period of not quite knowing, but where the promise of transformation and new life brings us hope. In the cold and snow of winter, there's a spring that waits to be. And whether or not we grow depends on whether we're being nurtured properly or not. In Jesus' parable, seeds that land on a footpath fail to grow because they can't penetrate the hard ground. They aren't able to find the nutrients that they need. To grow and be transformed, to become the authentic self that God created us to be, we need a certain amount of vulnerability, a willingness, an open heart and mind. We can't put up walls between us and others like the hard ground that nothing can penetrate. And the seeds that land on rocky soil can grow a little bit, but ultimately they aren't able to sink their roots deep enough to withstand future adversity. We have to be willing to go deep, doing the hard work of prying up the rocks, the obstacles that keep us from growing, and tossing those obstacles aside. For example, if we've been told in our lives that we're not good enough, if our seed was sown on the rocks of low self-esteem, then realizing our own inner worth, learning to love ourselves, is something that we might have to address and work on before we can truly grow into our true, good, and amazing selves. And seeds that fall on ground choked with weeds are overcome and never reach their full potential. Who and what do we surround ourselves with? How are we being nurtured? If we're constantly surrounded by messages of materialism or people whispering in our ears about who we should fear or who we should hate, then those are like weeds, and we're not going to grow into the people of love that God intends us to become. But then the seeds that fall on fertile ground. Jesus says that these seeds yield many times what was sown. In other words, if we open ourselves to risk and intimacy instead of walling ourselves off from the dangers of life, if we work at overcoming the obstacles that hold us back, if we turn to God's way of love and reject the selfish, oppressive way of the world, love will blossom in our hearts, in our lives, and in the world that surrounds us. When we are nurtured in love, we are transformed and become more than we could have ever imagined. And for those who have gardened before, of course, we know that these are not one-time tasks. But we have to tend our gardens over time. Soil needs to be tilled again so it doesn't harden. And just when we thought all of the rocks had been removed, that tilling turns up new rocks. And pulling weeds seems to be a never-ending process. That's why I was never a good gardener. While we're in the middle of that growth process, we never quite know what's going to happen, do we? We keep working at it, and we keep wondering. When you plant a garden, don't you wonder and worry about whether it's going to grow? Whether the seeds are getting enough water, whether they're getting enough light? Are we getting enough love? Our hymn talks of the potential of God's creation as unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see. When we put our trust in God's love and open our hearts to transformation and change, we're never quite sure where God is going to lead us. We're never quite sure what we might grow into. The end result of change isn't always visible at the beginning of the process. But even in the dark and cold of winter, in times of trouble and trial, God promises us new life. Promises that something amazing lies ahead as we grow into those beautiful, amazing people, those people of love that we're intended to be. God knows where we're going, and everything will unfold at the right time. Ecclesiastes reflects on this reality that we can't really control the future. We can't force life to come out as we want it to. We can only be part of the growth process and try to seek delight in that becoming of our true selves. Our struggles don't need to cause us to despair and become depressed, but instead they can lead us to humility, to delight in the gifts of God. When things start to go bad, we might be comforted because we know that things are eventually going to have some good times too. And in the midst of negativity, there's still going to be moments of joy. And we need to savor life's good times because we don't know, or we know that they don't last forever. It's about living in the moment and appreciating those moments, giving thanks for what we have right now. We need to root ourselves in the hope of God's love. Verse 2 of our hymn says, there's a song in every silence, seeking word and melody. There's a dawn in every darkness, bringing hope to you and me. From the past will come the future, what it holds, a mystery. When we can't always understand or predict life, perhaps it's best to live in that present moment, enjoying what we can, trusting that God walks with us, helping us make the best of each situation. leading us to new life, to leading us to become our best possible and most loving self. Now, of course, new beginnings often require that something else comes to an end. And that's certainly been my experience in life. I might never have become a minister if a previous job hadn't come to an end on a sour note. And it might take time, even years, but growth and blessings often begin where something else has ended. The death of a loved one, the end of a relationship. In my experience, those awful things that we don't ever want to have to go through have always led to learning about myself and growing into a better person. Verse 3 speaks to this truth. In our end is our beginning, in our time, infinity. In our doubt, there is believing, in our life, eternity. In our death, a resurrection, at the last, a victory. Metaphorically, this verse reminds us of the endless possibilities and opportunities that open up from our times of struggle. New life found when old things end. Faith that comes from wrestling with doubt. The sense of limitless blessing that's found in union with the divine. And if we want to hear these words in a little bit more literal sense, this verse can also be a comfort for those facing death and grief in their lives, as it speaks of the promise of reunion, reunion with the divine power of love after our physical life ends. This hymn is often used at funerals for this very reason. And indeed, shortly after it was written, the composer's husband was diagnosed with terminal cancer and requested that the hymn be sung at his funeral service. But however the words enter into our hearts, they remind us that something wonderful awaits us in the future, both in this life and in the next, when we put our trust in the God of love. And so as we sing this hymn in a few minutes, sing knowing that God loves you, that God wants you to have new life, renewed life. Opening our hearts and minds in vulnerability and love, may we become our true selves, beautiful flowers, branches full of the fruits of peace and justice, butterflies flying free, the authentic, loving, and beloved children of God. Amen.